Time now for Michigan's premier outdoor radio program, Mike Avery's Outdoor Magazine. Outdoor Magazine is brought to you by Jay's Sporting Goods, the gear, the knowledge, the tradition of Jay's. The Michigan Outdoor News, the sportsman's choice for news and information. Rivers West and H2P waterproof clothing, get into it. The Martin family of dealerships, a place you can count on. The Men's Outdoors and Recreation Network, get more out of life. And by Lowrance Electronics. Now, here's Mike Avery.
Ken Hunter, thank you. And thank you for joining us this weekend here on the Outdoor Magazine Show on the Michigan Radio Network. I do appreciate you being along with us. Hope you're having a good weekend. Hope your plans involve some outdoor activities. And as always, that does not include garden or lawn. It means get out and do some fishing. Take your family camping. Maybe take a bike ride. Do something. Get out in the outdoors and enjoy Mother Nature. I myself have been, I have been working on this last few Jay's Outdoor Magazine television shows of this season. In fact, right now I'm editing the Florida trip we just made a couple of weeks ago, where we went axis deer hunting and hog hunting and bass fishing. And that will be our last show for the second quarter, which means for the third quarter, summertime. I'm sorry, last show for the first quarter. No, second quarter. Third quarter, summertime. No, first quarter. I'm sorry. Anyway, I'm done for the summer. That's why I'm so excited. We'll be running reruns for the summertime, which will be a big... it'll be a nice time to relax and do some fishing and just enjoy things and get ready for the busy fall that is coming up. But I haven't had a chance to get out and do much fishing yet. And I don't feel bad about it because you got to get your work done first. I'm fine with that. But I'm ready. I'm ready to get out and do some trolling on Saginaw Bay for some walleye. I mean, that's really my home body of water. Hope to sneak over to Lake Michigan, maybe fish a few days with my dad and catch some kings off Manistee. And my plans this summer really don't involve heading down to Lake St. Clair after muskie. But if they did, and if they do, I can tell you who I'll be fishing with. A guy named Don Miller of Motor City Muskies. Don is, he's the man on Lake St. Clair. He learned from the man, Homer LeBlanc. There's a name you know. I mean, that guy could smell a muskie. Well, I think Don's getting to that point. He can troll over a body of water and say how many fish are in there. And if you're looking for a good time and a good shot at a true trophy muskie, I don't know. Lake St. Clair is as good as it gets. And it's close. If you're listening to this radio show, Lake St. Clair is close. So Don joined us on the Outdoor Magazine phone line this weekend to tell us about his fishery there and maybe encourage you to come on down and join him. Don, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
Very good, Mike. How about yourself? I was listening to the show. It sounds like you've been around down Florida and every place else through the wintertime and having a great time there.
Well, yeah, having a wonderful time. I mean, it beats working for a living, but I am ready to get out and do some fishing for fun. But guys like you, I mean, I know it's still enjoyable, but when you hit the water, it's work, isn't it? It's your job. You need to catch fish, don't you?
You got to be on your game on Lake St. Clair. There's no question about it. It's not a lake where you can sit still and just stick lines on the back of the boat and forget about them. You got to work a line. You got to honestly get on up and move, and constant clearing of lines and checking and resetting and changing the baits is an ever going process out on a boat during the day's time out there.
Now, why is that? Because you're going to get fouled and such with weeds and such, or just because you need to keep fine tuning and seeing what the fish want?
Well, I think, it's a little bit of both because, I've been fishing on Lake St. Clair my whole life, but the average person doesn't understand that they think that everything out in the water is 100 feet deep or 150 feet deep like you would get in Lake Michigan if you would get out there, or Lake Superior or Lake Huron or something. But the average depth of Lake St. Clair is 15 feet deep, and people don't realize that. So that's like just a little... almost half the length of my boat. So I won't say that you can't find 18, 19, 20 feet of water. You certainly can, but The average depth is 15 feet. So it's very subject to weed growth and wind conditions pushing weeds from one shoreline to another, maybe overnight, so that you got to have an opportunity to set yourself up and not parking in the weeds. And if you do get in a marginal weed problem, you got to be able to set baits up and make clean presentations for your customers and constantly thinking about what's the fish going to be taking today.
15 feet deep and on some days, gin clear water, right?
Yeah, it's very clean water. You can see all the way down to the bottom with my polarized glasses on a lot of days.
And that's a big change from where from the way it was when you were fishing it as a kid, right?
Right. It's changed a lot. I mean, as a result of, you know, the changes that have come about in the lake with the zebra mussels and stuff like that, which actually have been a water filter purifying system out in the water, which we all know about now. But they've actually panned out to be more of a man-made problem than a fish problem, like we thought they were going to be in the beginning, because the fish have adjusted to these things. But nothing is safe in the water with a muskie around.
Because
there is no fish that lives in the water that's safe.
Because he's the biggest thing out there.
Yep. I ask the people a lot of times in my seminars, Mike, that I do, what is the natural enemy that muskies have? And people raise their hands a lot and say, man. And, you know, man is not a natural enemy to a muskie. I said, I'll tell them, unless you see gills on the side of your face and you go to sleep at night underwater, you're not a natural enemy. You know, actually, to be truthful about that, the only natural enemy that these fish do have, Mike, are northern pike, and that's at the time of birth because they both spawn in the same waters.
Mm-hmm.
And the pike fly are born. The pike will go in about 2 weeks before the baby muskies, so the baby pike are still there. So the first thing they see to eat on are baby muskies. But that soon turns once they get into an adult life. So I'll let you go on with your show and ask some more questions if you want.
Yeah, no, you're doing fine. I like to just sit back and listen to you. And you do have a good pike fishery down there as well, right?
It's pretty decent, you know, but you know, I don't see as many of them over the years of northern pike in the waters where I've been fishing around at a lot as of over the last 30, 35 years down there. Because the politics of the thing is, just like I explained, Mike, it's a good northern pike fishery. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just not as prominent in the areas where some of us guys have been cleaning the bigger northern pike out because we figured the less northern pike we would have, the more muskies we would have.
Well, and muskie is the fish that's going to draw people in. I mean, people are not going to drive 6 hours. For the most part, people are not going to drive 6 hours to catch a nice pike, but they will drive 6 hours to catch a nice muskie.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's not unusual to have multiple fish days out there at all. I mean, the old wise tale that once in a lifetime or once in 10,000 casts, don't get me wrong, I want to say that I haven't trolled many hours and wondered what's going on down below while I worked my tail off and couldn't hear a hum off the line that day.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's, you know, many trollers spend countless hours on the back of a boat, and it's not a brain-dead thing to do because a lot of the muskie fishing community has a casting forethought on this thing. Everybody casts, but, you know, and they think that you got to go sneak up on these fish in lily pads with a St. Croix rod and some kind of monofilament line or Dacron woven line and cast the topwater buzz bait up there and have a 50-inch monster explode on it. Well, I got news for you all. The 50-inch monsters live offshore, and they're out there where your offshore trolling's going on, and they'll take you on in a second, and they're not afraid. You know,
they're not afraid because, as you were saying, they're the top of the food chain, and that's why you've got one of your techniques is running your baits right in the prop wash, because it doesn't. And not only does it not scare the fish, it seems to attract them. You say,
absolutely, the turbulence off the back of the boat would. It's a very curious fish. You have to understand muskies and how they react to things, but it's an action reaction sort of type strike to egg them on and tease them with a troll of speed of maybe 5 to 6 miles an hour. And disguise your bigger baits right in there on each side of the prop wash, maybe 5-6 feet in the back of the turbulence of the boat right there, is that these fish are an opportunist, and they're not going to come up and nibble on anything. They're coming to hit the bait, and they strike at speeds of 20 to 40 miles an hour.
Wow.
Recoil out and lunge onto a bait. It's a reaction like their body will get in an S shape and lunge out and grab the bait, but and understanding that, it's a lot like a rattlesnake would strike and recoil out and strike, but it's not that they cruise around the lake at 20 to 40 miles an hour looking for something, but you absolutely know when one's on that line, and you better move real quick to get at it.
As the water has cleared up, have your trolling speeds gone higher then? Because in this crystal clear water, you don't want to give them a good look at that bait. You want to go by them real fast. Are you trolling faster now than you did 20 years ago?
Absolutely. I used to troll maybe around the low end of 3.5 to 4 miles an hour, Mike. But I find a cleaner water. I've downsized my baits and speeded up as well, up to speeds maybe 6, 6.5 miles an hour right now.
Hmm.
Depending on how bright my day is, to downsize your bait a little bit in some of those little 6-inch jobs that you can get, like a Wiley bait or a Stalker made by Drifter Tackle or something like that, are very, very good to use. To downsize and project less of an image at your fish, because their sight feeders and about 80% of their survival is based on sight, and I would probably say about 20% is based on lateral perception, which I'm not sure if what a lot of people know what lateral perception is, but that means the fish's ability to feel vibrations in the distance as far as objects underneath the water being smaller than them. And it's when that the water is not real clear, or you get your cloudier days, or there's been a windstorm hit the lake and clouded up a little bit, is that the fish's keenest sense of survival comes lateral perception, which is when they see less and feel the vibration a lot.
Don, hang tight. We've got to cut you off. Got to take a break. Lots more coming up with Don Miller right after this.